Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
Hey everybody, this is episode 1 of the offseason. More importantly, it's episode 50 overall. So I just want to take a moment to thank anybody who has downloaded, who has subscribed, who has left a review, who has retweeted when I send these out on Thursdays. It all helps and we're very appreciative of it. And we're going to keep it going as long as we can. Hopefully we're doing episode 100 around this time next year. Hopefully it's a playoff preview, not kind of a look back at what's happened, but a lot of the last week has been trying to figure out what happened this year and what happens going forward. And that was really the focus of my conversation with Brian Sabian, as you'll hear right from the start. We talked about Chris Shaw and Steven Duggar, two guys who could potentially help this team next year, and then some guys who could help even further down the line, and some of the other parts of this front office that maybe they need to shore up a little bit as they try to keep pace with the Dodgers in their division and the Rockies and the Diamondbacks, even the Padres who finished well ahead of them. So a lot of work to be done, but, you know, it starts pretty soon for the front office. And for me, the offseason starts now with this podcast. Hope you guys enjoy it. You got to see the minor leaguers a lot. I want to ask you about some guys specifically. First, I've seen very little of Chris Shaw. The power is evident. I know you guys have some concerns defensively for now, just maybe out of inexperience. But for him, what kind of player do you see him as, having watched a lot of him, I assume? And how soon do you think he can be an impact player?
Well, the two impressive things about him, I think because he is now a real good hitter and he's got loft and major league power to all fields, including in our ballpark, that those go hand in hand with being a run producer. Now, when we first signed him, even though he had played mostly in the outfield in college, we gave him a cameo of sorts and tried to see what first base looked like. And then as we evaluated that, we decided to give him a extended look in left field. I do agree with Bobby. He's ahead offensively and is a little bit tardy in his outfield play or development. Now, having said that, Brundage, our AAA manager, really has done a nice job with early and extra work with him. And I saw improvement through the course of the year. The problem, as you know, playing left field in our left field isn't necessarily the easiest thing to do. But having said that, if you can improve the center field defense where you really get a ball hawk, then you can strategically kind of place him hitter to hitter, or as innings develop, with how you position people.
Is Steven Duggar potentially an option to be that guy as a ball hawk?
Yeah, you know, Duggar, again, unfortunately, got banged up.
Yeah.
And after last year, I think he was on everybody's board in the organization as a potential 5-2 player. Very good athlete. A lot of things come natural for him in the outfield. His reads, his breaks, his ability to outrun the ball is very impressive. I think while the bat's still on the come, he should be a complementary type of offensive player in a major league lineup. Now, is he, let's say, top of the order? I don't know if we have enough information. But he's certainly far and away is the next best thing or the next center fielder to be, that we hopefully can produce sooner or later. He's going to the fall league, and he'll get a strong look in spring training. It's not like we're going to anoint him as the center fielder or put that kind of pressure on him. But with more playing time, which he'll catch up on at bats this winter, he'll be positioned, I think, to show us how soon he's capable to contribute.
I'm going to go way further beyond that. The reviews on this year's draft have been excellent, and I think the stats back those up. Are you as excited about Ramos and Gonzalez and these guys as maybe the numbers would indicate you guys should be?
Well, two things apply. It's amazing that John and his staff was able to kind of cherry pick where we drafted in the first round Ramos, because he's a 5-2 player. And I really believe he's going to stay in center field. He's going to have power. And he can, the athlete that he is, he can run field and throw right now. Gonzalez, interesting animal onto his own because he's a corner infielder. And right now playing third base, where he ends up moving on the diamond, you know, remains to be seen. But he's one of the more advanced high school hitters I've seen come into our organization. And I've been here since 1993. Real good feel for strike zone awareness, great control of the barrel. Right now he's line drive down, hits the ball to all fields, but with authority. But he's going to have, I do believe, solid average, if not above average, major league power. I mean, he can hit, and the genes with his dad, Luis.
But where do you stand right now on what you guys need to do internationally? I know Bobby was very active about going to the Dominican. You guys have the new facility there. He went to Japan with Jeremy. Do you think this is something you guys need to kind of increase the attention you put on internationally?
Well, first and foremost, one of his, needs to go down there was to impress upon everybody, now with this new facility, we have to take full advantage of it. We have to do a better job, including with our own staff and Rovers going down there and integrating our development programs. And also, because of the facility, we have a year-round schedule, much like you would have in the States. Now, what also goes hand-in-hand with that, if you're going to develop Latin players, let's say just younger players in general, you kind of need extra steps on the ladder. So, for instance, this year we had two extended spring teams. So a lot of those guys, even though they came over for spring training and probably going to return to the Dominican for their summer season, they stayed in the States because there was an extra team and got acclimated and played more baseball stateside. We've even discussed having in the future two instruction league teams, maybe one a little bit older, one a little bit younger. And I'm pretty sure Bobby's really pushing for another Arizona summer league team. So you'd have two summer league teams, which some ball clubs do know. And I'm a big believer, especially with developing young players, the more places you have for them to play, the less they get backed up into how and when they get their playing time, because they all need at-bats, they all need innings pitched. The other thing, just to further expand on what we have to do to tighten up how we bring folks through the pipeline from Latin America, is people don't understand that they play very little organized baseball. There's virtually none. They train and they try out with their various Viscones and trainers and whatnot. But by the time you've signed them, they've played very few baseball games. So you have to have a wider view of how they get introduced into a regimen, and more so how they get acclimated to actually playing in a real competitive setting, which is a pro baseball game, even if it might be just in the Dominican Summer League.
Another part of the front office, I know you guys have, you don't have a reputation as being into analytics. I know that that's not totally true, that you guys are very advanced in a lot of what you do, but there are other teams out there that probably have put more resources into it. Is that something going forward that you think some of what you guys do has to change in terms of analytics and metrics?
I think that that's evolved really going back to the years, my latter stage of being a GM, and it was a mantra from Bobby going forward. And in a perfect world, if he's able to pull it off, I think there'll be multiple positions added. perhaps one dedicated to the Major League team, one dedicated to the draft, one dedicated to scouting, one being a position, a saber position, one dedicated to player development. And sometimes it does come down to manpower so that whoever needs to tap into that, it's specifically made available, let's say, by silo in the organization or by department. And that's really what a lot of other organizations, maybe in advance of us, have gotten into. Stats and analytics have been part of baseball since I've been in it. It's just, you know, how creative you want to be with it and how much use. The thing that has to translate, though, is from the major league manager to the coaching staff, but more so the major league players, let's say, specifically, it has to be embraced. You know, it can't be a cure-all, end-all. It can't be rammed down somebody's throat. These guys aren't robotic. These guys are human beings, and human beings, whether it's in the sport of baseball or in any sport, aren't necessarily conditioned, perhaps, the way that the numbers try to paint a picture of them as a baseball person, because half of being a baseball person, you're also a human being, and your personality enters into somewhat the path that you're on in your career. And as we all know, there's a place and time for everything. Are you in an organization that you're undervalued or backed up, let's say? Are you really more of a frontline player, and not be given the opportunity for whatever reason, whether that's the minor leagues, the big leagues? Are you in too deep of a lineup to be able to make an impact? You can go on and on. You know the nuances. So that's part of it, too. And the more you can have available to whoever wants to tap into it, GM, front office, manager, coaching staff, that can be weighed against what your scouting reports, advanced reports, et cetera, then it's about baking the cake. It's about, you know, on any given day, how much, those ingredients you put into baking the cake.
You mentioned the draft. Do you guys have a sense? I mean, it's really early, but a sense of maybe what the top of this draft looks like or what type of direction you might want to go?
John just had meetings in Arizona, and specifically they were trying to drill down in the first and second rounds. Personally, because I've been through it so much in the past in two organizations, including scouting director and running player development scouting in the Yankee and the Giants organizations, the beauty in what we're going to experience this coming year is that when you pick that high in the draft, you're picking that high every round. So in some cases, as you put your list together or your priorities, you should be able to cherry pick. To answer your question, I don't know if it's early enough to say, with our first pick being now the number two pick in the draft, is it half and half, a high school possibility versus a college possibility? Is it a position player versus a pitcher? But the great thing about amateur baseball now is that, you know, starting with high school kids, they play year-round. They're in showcases almost year-round. The colleges do play and do certain things, including scout days in the fall. So they've spent the summer drilling down on this, and they will spend the fall getting ready for what should be a real strategic way to go out and first scout our first pick. So, for instance, in most cases, if you're picking second, you want to have as much information as you can, soup to nuts, including off the field and family and et cetera, on 10 to 15 players. Now, that might sound a lot, but anything and everything can happen. But we feel very fortunate that we're in this position because, much like we've seen other organizations doing, and specifically the Cubs, it can be franchise changing.
The Cubs, one thing they did was they went with position players early because they felt like that was safer. Is that something you feel as well?
Well, it perhaps is safer. And if you have somebody more advanced, they might be able to make an impact sooner. Obviously, the greater risk, let's say, or the higher mortality rate, even on a first pick in general, is the high school pitcher. But we've had success doing that too. So it'll all be weighed. Yeah, in a perfect world, would you like somebody that's on a fast track to impact our lineup? And specifically, it could be a run producer, of course. Would you like somebody that's going to be on the fast track and be a frontline starter? Of course. But also not having the first pick, some of the pressure's off.
Yeah.
So whatever's going to happen, something's at least going to happen in front of you so that you're down to maybe a little bit better comfort zone than being out front with the spotlight on you, having to pick the guy number one.
I'll get you out of here on this. You've been in the GM chair. You know that no matter what, the fact that you guys are all part of a big group, that the pressure generally comes down on the guy who is actually the general manager of the team. What do you think of the way Bobby has handled that and kind of the pressure that he might feel going forward to be the guy to get this turned around?
Well, I think two things. One, through a season like this, and you have to, you end up spending a lot more time just, again, like we talked about, how you view the Major League Club, how you can, further bond with the manager through something like this. Really, in some sense, know that that's the first priority, because as you go through something like this, you want to be as ready as you can once the season ends to conduct your meetings, to make your phone calls. And I think even if you go back to some of the exercises we did or he organized in and around the trade deadline, there's no doubt the group's organized, and there's no doubt that he now, as he's comfortable with his front office staff, he's delegating more so he can be involved in the bigger picture and be in lockstep with Boch as to, you know, what ingredients we need. We're all in some form, no matter what our titles are and how long we've been here, we all are somewhat part of baking the cake and contributing. But under the toughest circumstances, I think he's stayed sane, which isn't so easy to do, and he has kept his personality, and has kept his chin up, knowing too that this will pass. But for some reason, as a group and as people, we got to go through this.
Yeah.
Rather not, but I guess that's the baseball god in the game, where we've had so much success. If we can't handle this, we might as well get the rings back, right?
Well, it's maybe a long road, maybe not a long road. A lot of work to be done this offseason, but I appreciate you taking some time to go through it. And I will say it was at times a very non-energetic season, but your two little boys were always sprinting through the hallways afterwards. So they were the two most energetic people in this ballpark.
Other than the baseball, they keep me up at night. Not much sleep this year.
Yeah, I'm sure. Reason. Brian, thank you so much for taking the time.
Center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.